Welcome to Adjust Your Life, an integrative health podcast about you and your overall wellness with Dr. Tim Dooley and Dr. Patrick O'Brien. The content in this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Adjust Your Life podcast. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do so. I'm Dr. Tim Dooley. This is my partner, Dr. Patrick O'Brien.
Yes.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man.
Today's topic is an interesting one. Movement is medicine.
It's actually a statement that I've said, I've kind of lived by this since I started school. Actually, in one of our classrooms at school, it was up on the wall, on at least when I was there.
Motion is medicine.
Motion is medicine, yeah. Hmm. And which that sounds like you kind of know what it means, but let's kind of go into some detail, not just opinions, but also maybe we have a study here that talks about
it. Yeah, we should probably start with the study we were looking at that got us all excited about talking about this, huh?
Yeah, and basically this study, without going into like the numbers and the details, it talks about the longevity of the human body with pertaining to its motion and muscle mass content versus like meaning how long you live, the amount of injuries you sustain compared to how much muscle mass you have versus as you get older, if you are not moving, if you're not active, whatever that may be, your muscle mass decreases, therefore affecting your longevity. Right. And it's, I think we know that, but it's important to continue to, it's important to continue to move, but that doesn't mean you have to lift heavy, heavy weights and you don't have to go on long runs. It's just literally what it says. It's moving in general. So I'm going to pull up that article. I mean, let's talk more about that just in general, like what motion and what movement in medicine movement is medicine means to you.
Well, to me, I think there are two types. You have your mental and you have your physical.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's more important than the other, but I think both of them are very important. So one kind of piggybacks the other. One, you know, exercising movement helps your mental, whereas a good mental stability, you know, helps with your movement and exercise. And the study mentioned, I looked at it briefly, about the excess in adipose tissue would be far more detrimental than the increase in muscle mass.
Which adipose tissue is like fat content.
Yeah, fat content than actual muscle mass.
And that's like what you said, like the whole saying of use it or lose it is so unbelievably true on anything, to the point where we see it, like when we were doing cadavers in grad school and going through different bodies and showing out different muscles, and it was from all different things, not just muscles, like certain things we would pull out and it's like, oh my gosh, that's so small. That's not what I pictured to be. Well, this individual never did this. This individual never had this. We did a lady who her uterus was like the size of like a, like a quarter or like two quarters. And it was like, that's the uterus. Well, she obviously never had kids, never did this and that. And I thought it very interesting how the body starts to just diminish the use for different things. And I know that's not pertaining to muscles per se, but I think this applies to anything in the body. You have to use it to keep that mobile. If you're not using your knees, if you're not running, if you're not active, if you're not working out, that can cause breakdown. It causes degenerative changes to take place. So,
well,
you have a smile on your face.
I thought that was an interesting example. So, my example is going to be more of the retirees, those who are turning, you know, 65, 60-ish, and are set to retire, and then they don't know what to do. And, you know, you lay around and do nothing and, you know, things do not turn out well for you, both mentally and physically. And, you know, I think that's most of the one, you know, very important for you to keep a good exercise regimen or motion as you're young so you don't have to start cold when you're in your 60s. But also, when you are in 60, it's not a license to do nothing. It's not going to help you live longer and live a more full life.
But I think some of you ask yourself, how does having more muscle mass just make me live longer? I have more muscle mass, but I still have other diseases. Well, because when you have more muscle mass, that means you're more active. When you're more active, it decreases your risk for things on this study I'm looking at. Your diabetes, risk of diabetes goes down. Risk of hypertension goes down. Risk of your good cholesterol, bad cholesterol, things get thrown off. The ratio on that gets thrown off. Waist circumference, body mass, all these things are changed when you have higher muscle mass content. So it's not just, oh, muscle mass equals longevity. Muscle mass means you're active, which means other comorbidities are going down. I think that's the thing to really focus on, because it's not just muscle mass. It's like a list of 20 different things here that all pertain to this specific thing.
I think one we're also forgetting is, as we get older, as we age, we tend to fall more. And without the muscle mass to prevent, you know, fractures, hip fractures, and things that can actually be very detrimental to you.
Well, and kind of going off that, I hate, as bad as it sounds, you hear an individual who's older, living a relatively healthy life, they fall, they break a hip or fracture a hip. Then it seems like, and I feel like this doesn't happen to everyone, but you hear this where they fall, they get hurt, and all of a sudden it's like their health just declines, and next thing you know, they pass away or something happens, and it's like, wow, did the hip fracture cause that? No. It was the catalyst, the thing that pushed them over the edge, where they could no longer maintain the activity level that they were maintaining, and now like everything else went south. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about. So it will help prevent injury. It'll help prevent falls, but it also just prevents you from, you know, you don't want to be circling the drain. You want to keep doing what you got to do.
So if you were seeing somebody and someone came in and wanted to know how to start, and let's say they're in their mid-60s, how would you recommend that? What would you tell them to do to get started?
For just activity levels?
Yeah.
So I think it's the thing here is it's so – they have people have this mindset where I need to go to a gym. I need to work out. I need to lift all these weights. No, you don't. You don't do any activity right now. I want you to go for a walk around the block. Walk down the street and back every day for the first 2 weeks. Just do something. Mm-hmm. Get your heart rate pumping. What you're doing, if you walk, let's say, half a mile every day – for a week, you have now literally walked a couple miles more that week than you were previous. You've already increased your activity content. And as you start doing that more, you'll start to get into more involved in things. So everyone thinks, I don't know where to start. I can't have time to do this. You all have time to do something. It's just a matter of what that is. Even if it's just little by little, what's added up over the course of a month, and then you look back on it, you realize how much you actually just did.
Right.
So that's kind of how I would start. I think it depends on the, you know,
and you
depends
can get
on what
a membership, a membership at the Y or a membership at a rec club. You could do swimming. You can do lots of low impact activities to help improve your muscle mass and improve your longevity.
And the thing I would tell people is do not compare yourself to anybody else. Like, just, that's easy to do, but don't compare yourself to other people around you, because the worst thing you can do is when you compare yourself to another person and you see this guy in the gym who has all these muscles, or this girl who's running all these miles, you understand they did not start running and doing all that from right how they look now. They started light and worked their way up. So you can't compare yourself. We're all at different points in our lives. We're all different types of health and different builds and everything. So start low. You worry about yourself when you're working out, and then and manage yourself, and then work your way to a point that you can get. So.
And what do you tell patients with significant back pain, significant degenerative changes, and they want to go to the gym? Well, I can't work out. I can't do this. I can't do that. What do you tell them to do?
I think a lot of times the best way to explain this to you, I think this can go a lot of different directions here, but it's like, listen to your body. And when you go to work out, it's not let pain be your guide, but like, manage what you can do without hurting yourself worse. Day by day, step by step, figure out what you can handle and what you can't handle. Now, we can help guide you or someone with back pain about what you should and shouldn't do. But I think it's all about moving the joint that's affected in a good way without hurting it. But also, if you're like, if you do something, it's a 8 out of 10 pain, you can't do that. But if you go for a walk and it's just mildly aches the back or something, I think just easing in and seeing how you do over the next few days. And if you were fine and ultimately felt better, then I tell people, hey, you can check that box saying this is one I can do without getting worse. So yeah. I like to slowly integrate different movements and then give it a day or two and see how you respond. If you didn't have any negative effects, then you need to add that to the list of workouts you can do. But if it makes you worse, cross it off the list, kind of thing.
And
what are you talking about?
I recommend like aquatic therapy, some kind of like swimming or something for cardio in the water, or even water aerobics. Those
Which
are pretty
is good
entertaining.
For the joints.
Yeah, those are pretty entertaining to watch.
They are, and it's a matter of having access to it, like you said. It definitely is, but we're all going to be there at some point, right?
Yeah.
But it's a matter of finding, like, if they don't have access to a Y or something, yeah, they don't have that option. There are, I mean, if you want to go into some details, there's different types of things, like such as if I'm going to want to work my legs and my hips, but I can't squat weights because that hurts. Well, that's modify. And what that means is I can't hold the weight over my back or hold on my hands and squat. So therefore, I'm going to lay on my back and do leg lifts, because now I'm not using weights. I'm weightless, but I'm managing it in a different way. These are different styles of working out that both integrate the muscles in two different ways. So I think Dr. Lee's right. It's alternative methods to it. It's modifying it so that it fits you. But it's when you say motion is medicine or movement is medicine, that is such a broad term, but it's quite literally the essence to health in everything that's all said. You have to move to keep, that's what the body's made to move. But
right.
with that said, there is an overuse side of it. It doesn't mean you go run 200 miles a week, you're going to have your own fair share of issues too. So I think it's just moderation, working yourself up, having goals. I think short-term goals, medium goals, and then even like long, long goals to try to hit. I think those are very important versus just going with the flow every day kind of thing. So what do you think? I mean, it's kind of like I said, we could talk about a lot of different things with movement as medicine, but
yeah.
it's
I talk
just
about spine, like spine motion, spine mobility, joint flexibility, things like that ring a bell to me when I hear that.
Flexibility is very important. Yeah. And it's like when you're doing these things, even at, let's just say we're not, hey, I don't, I'm not going to go work out. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to lift. What else can you do? You could do simple, just stretching, right? Stretching just on a daily basis would be just a very critical thing to just even lay there. And even if you don't know how to stretch, just take muscles and joints through different ranges of motion till you feel a nice stretch, hold for a couple seconds and then repeat and just do that over and over. You're still mobilizing the joint and gets to what you're talking about with flexibility. So yeah, I think we've kind of covered, you got anything else you want to add to that?
I'm trying to think.
And that's kind of gets into what chiropractic is. When we adjust you, we're trying to restore movement to joints that otherwise don't move well, so that it makes you move better when you go to do it yourself. So there's different types of motion, which I think might be one of the top.
The risks outweigh the benefits outweigh the risks as far as like
for
moving versus not moving. Yeah, you're going to be sore. Yeah, you're going to irritate some things, and that's what we're here for, to help you with that. But, you know, doing nothing as opposed to doing something is always, it's not as good.
I totally agree. You don't have to be an athlete. You don't have to be anything special. Anyone can do it. Any motion is good. It's just a matter of, like, I like really kind of, if you're looking to maintain and start, I like very, very low resistance, low weight, and more repetition on different things just to get the body warmed up. That's more where I would go with it.
I think it you know, starts where, you know, our age, you know, when we're kind of like in our mid-30s, early 40s, and all we're doing is working and driving kids to practice and going to sleep at 10 o'clock, falling asleep, and
all
then
the time.
Oh, we realize, oh, I haven't done anything in like 5 months. What are we supposed to do? What do we tell that client or that patient? Like, how the heck do we get out of that rut? You know, we can help them with testosterone therapy. We can help them with, you know, their mindset and everything. But the reality is, it's, if you start there, it's only going to start doing nothing at that age. It's only going to get worse as you age.
I think we all get trapped in that. You and I both
have
a big history. I got trapped in it. I've been going at lunch, even though it's not a lot of free time, to try to work out. Here's where there it is, though.
Do something.
The way I would say this is people will say you don't have time. I have said that because I literally ate dinner at 10:30 last night. I don't have time to do a lot of things. But in reality, y'all have time at some point. You have time at some point to do this. It comes down to willpower too. So I know we all have willpower. I tell people, if you do it for a week or two, maybe 2 weeks, and you get in a routine, you're going to want to do it. It becomes,
you feel better,
habitual. Yeah, it becomes like
better.
I need to do it. Like, I need to go eat lunch. I need to go work. I need to do this. So it's important to just try to push through the first couple times. Just make a little regimen or routine for yourself. I promise you it'll become, I won't say addicting, but it kind of does. It's almost like, oh, I need to do this. It's kind of a challenge for myself. I know this is a part of my daily routine. I need to get involved. So that's kind of where I'm at now. But it's easy to get out of that. I totally understand, especially with
motivation.
Well, yeah, but coaching and kids and all that, it becomes really tough. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. So it's, like I said, movement is medicine. You hear this all the time. Motion is medicine. Movement is medicine. Some people say motion is lotion. I've heard that 100 times, my patients, but everything keeps the joints moving, keeps the cartilage good. If you're not overusing it, keeps the synovial joints and fluids moving. It's all beneficial for sure. So,
all right.
And anything else?
That's all I got, buddy. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. Have a great day.